What you doing, beloved?
Attention, attention, my black brothers. What I want y'all to do right now is take out the do-rag, the silky, tie it down. I want to see the waves glistening. If you got nappy hair, pick it. Don't let nobody discourage you.
Ariel.
Black boy, Joe. Black boy.
Yes. Hi.
Hey, honey.
You look cute today.
Thank you so much. I wanted to go with wealthy white boy who yachts today. I didn't have this hat on earlier, but the humidity has fucked my waves up, so I had to put the hat on.
A white man would not wear a hat like that, just
That's
to give
I
you
say,
that caveat.
It wasn't a part of the original aesthetic. I had my linen and I had my my good boat shoes on, and I looked like I belonged on a yacht.
Are you going back into the streets?
Yes, and I will not be wearing this outfit tonight.
Oh, okay, you said I'm doing a switcheroo. I am doing... It's just so which a roo, which is fun. No, I am. The weather here was like so wishy washy today. So I think I'm gonna stay my black ass here.
What is it like right now?
It was hot and cold. So like, you know, I played my kickball girls, you know, today. So it was hot at one point and then it was cold at one point. It was just like too much for me. So I was just like, oh, I had to go back home. And, you know, they'd be trying to turn up all day. And I was like, I have work. I have things to do, darling. Oh, okay. Wait. Cowboy Carter has officially dropped Star. Your quick thoughts, your opinions, the vibes. We're going to get into this because we of course, are Beyonce stans and fans. Yeah, that's right. So first impressions, thoughts, vibes so far. It's been out.
I love it. I love it. I have really enjoyed it. And I love, so what I love about this album is it feels situated similarly to how I Am Sasha Fierce was.
Ooh,
where that it's like slow and what?
That's not my favorite album. So
well,
go ahead.
It's certainly not mine. But it's got like that slow kind of ballads at the front, like I Am. And then it's got the like fun dance songs at the back, like Sasha Fierce. So I enjoy that I can go to certain parts of the album depending on how I'm feeling. Yeah. But there are still even structurally some similarities to Renaissance. Like Sweet Honey Buckin' is like pure honey, but country, you know, and then you've got the ending there. There was another song that situationally like reminds me of a Renaissance song or like a setup. It's the blend between... Desert Eagle.
Oh fuck, okay.
River Dance and Two Hands to Heaven.
Okay.
That reminds me of that little movement between Plastic Off the Sofa and Virgo's Dance.
So I get a lot of vibes from Two Hands to Heaven. Two Hands to Heaven gives me Virgo's Groove vibes. Mm-mm. All because it's a long song. Mm-hmm. And you know, because it's, and it also goes into, I think on Virgo's Groove as well, she goes like a cappella in that. I cannot remember off the top of my head. And of course, she does it in Two Hands to Heaven. But I get that. I also do get Dance for You.
Yeah, I call it Country Dance for You. Country Dance for You. At least the end of it feels very much like Dance for You.
Yes, and I love it. I agree with you. When I first listened to the album, like at first I wasn't one of the people that was tweeting about the album as soon as it was dropping, like track by track, play by play. Because I typically try to not lean into this like music critic type of vibe because bitch, that's not me. Like if I like the beat, I like the beat. If I like the vibe, I like the vibe. That's what I'm going to do. So like I just was avoiding being like, oh, the percussion when she blended into Riverdance just always hits me. But when she silently goes into her low register, I don't know what the hell all this shit means. I just am like, oh, this is cute. You know, like, Two Hands to Heaven was, I think, the first song I heard on the project that I was like, oh, yeah, I'm here for that. Like,
Is that your favorite song?
Is my favorite song. Hands down, favorite song on the album. Okay. You have any other? What is your favorites? I know it's probably
my number one is River Dance. It is the only, it was the first song on the album that made me want to dance in the way that Virgo's Groove makes me want to dance. Like it's the kind of dance that doesn't really require or facilitate thought. You're just kind of like moving. It feels very natural and kind of whimsical, so I really love dancing to that. The first song I think I liked on the album outside of Blackbird, because I really love that. I love all iterations of that song. I really do love that song. was Alligator Tears. I really do love that one.
That is one
I
of my favorite banjo. Songs.
That's the banjo really, yeah. is good for me. Like I've yeah. learned that I really fuck with the banjo. I didn't know that, but I've noticed a commonality in the songs that I enjoy, and a lot yeah. of them have the banjo.
Yeah, Alligator Tears is definitely one of my top songs. Two Hands to Heaven, and then I do like Yaya and Riverdance.
Yeah, it's a fun. Lot. Yaya is fun.
Yaya is just so energetic, and it gives me Why Don't You Love Me?
Oh, it's giving yeah.
that Why Don't You Love Me vibe. Tell me.
I like that. That's true. Yeah, I agree with that.
It's giving the 60s, 70s like thing. So I really, really like that. I mean, of course, the commercial songs like Levi Jeans to me and Most Wanted are really good as well, surprisingly to me. And also do like that. She did have a little bit of like those up and coming country artists, black country artists on there as well. I do wish yeah. Blackbird had a little bit more, but I know that some of the black women were also on like American Requiem and like Tyrant as like the background vocals. But the fact that Shaboozey got two songs and then Willie Jones got like a feat is just kind of like, but I don't know how that. See, I'm not an A&R. See, look.
I see what you mean there. No, because when I saw that they were on background vocals, because I think it was Tanner. Yeah, I forget what her last
love
name.
Love Tanner. It's like Tanner Trudell or some shit. Like, I'm sorry.
Well, so I saw that she was listed on Blackbird, but then she was the one that was like, oh, I'm also on and American Requiem. So I mean, I feel like I could have opinions about that. I probably do. I just don't have the words for them right now. I do think that they could have had a more prominent role in the album. But I don't really know when or how that collaboration came about. So yeah. I don't know if it was like recent. It does seem to me like I remember all the changes that occurred when Renaissance dropped, and I'm curious yeah. if this drop was similar to that one.
For sure.
Considering how meticulous Beyonce is, I could believe that there were changes made to this one up until like the week before.
Yeah, I think I read that. I think Shaboozey didn't hear himself. He didn't listen or didn't know that he was on it until like 9 p.m. that day,
damn,
the 29th. I think I heard that. You could uncall. It was probably on his page, but like I think he didn't know. But I was like 9 p.m. the 29th. The album was out at, you know. So yeah. But sidebar, this is really off tangent. You know what did not gag me? Is these outfits that, okay, yeah, but that I'm talking about. I pivoted.
Oh, okay, go ahead, girl.
These outfits at Gag City did not gag me. I was just looking at the way we showed up for Beyonce for Renaissance. I am highly disappointed by the barbs. I just wanted to bring that in just because I just am like not going up for none of these looks. They look a crunchy hot mess to me.
You thought that they were going to gag you?
They were not, but I mean, it's called Gag City. I'm looking for somebody to gag me. When y'all literally had me choking because it was atrocious.
That's not what I expected. I was like, oh yeah, okay. This is just have a style. I just have a style, and they wore
unique. I just want to throw that caveat. Unique.
First of all, Gag City was never going to be what the cultural moment that Renaissance was.
That is
like
fair.
It just was never going to
it's
be.
It's not and bringing the income,
and I'm not even entirely sure if that if is because of like Nicki Minaj's antics or what. But like people just wasn't gonna go up at the level that they did for Renaissance for Gag City. It ain't have nothing to do with me, so I minded my business.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, me too.
As far as the fashions go, I got just what I thought I was gonna get from them. That is just what I thought I was gonna get from the good number of them. God bless them.
What is up, everybody? It's your boy, Lord Devry.
And I'm Derwin King.
And welcome back to another episode of That Black Boy Joy, where we create space, maintain space, and hold space for black boys to be themselves and
so much more. Yelled that one.
Yelled that, sister. What has brought you joy this week, love?
Gardening. Oh, gosh. Did I already tell y'all I have a garden?
Yeah, I know. You told me that offline, but I don't think you told our listeners.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah. So I started a garden a couple weeks ago. It's right outside of my home. There was a raised bed when I moved here, and I knew that I was like going to want to do something with it, but I could not wrap my mind around gardening.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I have a friend with a green thumb who has taught me how to germinate seeds and just like how to take care of a garden. So I am in the process of doing that. I've got a lot of help because their aunt also is an amazing cultivator of soil and land. So I've been working on that. Hopefully by the summertime, I will have lots of things to eat from in my raised bed. But it's a really, like, it's something to be passionate about. It is a really nice and, like, peaceful activity. I care about it. I'm checking on it every day. I'm de-weeding it and watering it. And it's just something to really nurture, like the plants that I have now. So I feel myself becoming this, like, not plant daddy, but, like, I really do want to learn nature in a way that I feel like I wouldn't have if I weren't in this part of my journey right now.
I love this for you. I love plants. I'm a plant dad. Not a plant dad. Let me not lie. I have plants. Because when people say, like, plant dads, they're, like, thinking of, like, things all over the walls. And just, like, no, I have plants that have not died. And I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 plants in my house.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
I think I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I have 4 in here and then the garden outside.
You also have that big one. That really big one.
Yeah.
Oh, well, shout out to you being a garden dad, okay? An aspiring, progressive garden daddy. What has brought me joy this week? I think the wrap-up or conclusion of my birthday. I know we shot before my birthday happened, you all, but my birthday has commenced. I'm finally done with my shenanigans and festivities. It was actually one for the books. Party and dinner went amazing. A lot of anxiety, but overall was really good. So I feel like this week was just finally getting to reflect and be like, all right, you know, things didn't blow up. Things didn't go to shit. You had a great time. You had fun. So yeah, I think for me, that was like really like, I mean, I guess that's like what brought me joy was just finally like being able to sit down and be like, you went through it, you didn't die, and you're here.
I know that's right.
You know me, I'll be over here stressed like a mug just because like I'm going to say it and I'm going to say it now because my Virgo, you know, it's my Virgo, you know, I like things to be a certain way, but yeah, that has brought me joy.
Beautiful. So our Black Boy Joy Spotlight this week goes to Jarrell Duran. I believe I'm saying that right, but he is one of the contributors to Beyoncé's Cowboy Carter album. He's a singer and songwriter from Detroit. And so he's in the vocals for Jolene in the back, which actually are really nice. He also has some music content. He does like some informative music content, which is really engaging. He's a really nice voice, but check him out on Instagram. That's Detroit Jarrell. So that's DetroitJerrell.
Yes. And we'll be getting into today. Give us what we talk about today, girl.
We're talking about sex. We're talking about fucking sex.
We talk about it all the time. I know, but
I feel like sex is a conversation that you can attack in many different ways. Like the many ways you can have it. You can talk about it in just as many ways. So I'm actually wanting to, I watched the Freaknik documentary the other day. I watched the Freaknik documentary the other day and I thought to myself, damn, where the gays at? And like, what were the gays doing? Because, you know, they describe Freaknik as this thing that starts as this, like, you know, just this picnic where the college students from DC are in Atlanta can come together instead of going home for the break and just enjoy each other's company. And it grows from there and they start dancing and somehow it becomes this liberated
cultural thing,
where people are just like having fun. They're expressing themselves in ways that they probably wouldn't have felt comfortable doing at home or wherever they, you know, go to school, and then turns into this like complete, like, I don't want to call it a sex fest because I don't think that's true, but it just comes
sexually charged.
It's very sexually charged event. But I just thought to myself, like, damn, because they were talking, they were like, you know, men will come and find them a woman, and the women will come and find them a man. And I was like, okay, well, what about the niggas who was looking for niggas and the girls who was looking for girls? So they just weren't there. And obviously, we know that can't be true. Like, they had to be present. But, like, obviously, they weren't represented in that. So I just thought that was interesting. And I was curious what people were saying about it online. But someone said that their mother reported that someone in their family was out and went to a Freaknik and ended up being like assaulted, not sexually assaulted, but like physically assaulted. There was like a hate crime. So I guess it just wasn't a safe space for us.
But if I know anything about the gays, we have been partying hard for a very long time. So I know the girls was in Atlanta getting down. They just weren't doing it at Freaknik.
Or was going to like New York for like balls probably too.
Well, I'm sure they had a, I wonder if there was a ballroom scene in Atlanta at the time. Was it only in New York?
I think it was just probably like mainstream probably. I don't know. Yeah, we probably, I think every like there was every city had like a house basically.
Yeah, I'm curious about what that looks like in Atlanta. I should do some research about that.
Oh.
But I wanted to talk about these kinds of events for us and how we find ourselves in those spaces, what we feel in those spaces, and what they contribute to our culture from our perspective. So I wanted to ask you first, have you ever been to a circuit party?
I've actually only been to one, actually.
Really?
I've only actually been to one circuit party. I think for me, I've always wanted to go just because of the curiosity of those spaces, like what they are actually like. But I've always felt uncomfortable. And it's not because of somebody else. It was because of my own attachment to my own like physical attributes. Hmm. I just didn't feel like I was the market of guys that would typically go there.
That's really interesting. When did you go? Did you go in the last year?
Yeah, I went last year. Okay. So one of my friends, they host a like circuit party. Wait, you said circuit party, right?
I did.
Okay, God, I'm thinking sex. I was like, I don't think I've been to one yet. Well, I don't think I've been to that one. But I had to make sure I didn't tell y'all listening to the wrong thing. But one of my friends hosts like circuit parties here. Mm-hmm. And I've always wanted to go, but I never like always, my schedule just never like hit at the same time. So this time I actually went with one of my good friends and it was a very like chill vibe. I mean, yes, there were eyes that were looking and then there were like people that were like what before, but nothing too touchy. Like nobody wouldn't touch nobody. But like, I think I'm just not used to feeling like I am the one that is the commercial demographic for those spaces. So, cause I'm very like, you know, nerd, you know, I don't know. I feel like I'm not like a body boy, like a body gay. Like I'm not, I'm tall.
Well,
but like,
what did you see when you were there?
I've seen a lot of different bodies, but I mean, to be honest, I've seen it. It's very much a different, but you know, like, to be honest, in our community, like the ones that get the most attention are like the ones that bodies look commercially the most fitting. So okay. Like, yes, it was very much like a lot of different bodies and shapes were in there, but you could clearly know like the girls that know that their bodies look this way were definitely like the center of people's attention.
And that's interesting considering how fit you are too, by the way.
I know, but I think it's because I think of myself, I've never thought of myself as like the commercially attractive physical, like you know, guy. And I think that's just only my interpretation. Like when I was getting approached that night, those nights, and I talked about it on the episode, like I was like, me, moi. And like, I was just like, oh, like, I mean, I know I have like attributes, I've talked about it, but like, I just think for me, it just wasn't something that like I always like was comfortable like leaning into. So yeah. I think I felt comfortable. And I think I've also just been in more sexually liberated spaces. Not saying I'm like entering into select so like or nudity. Like I've went to a nude beach, one of my friends before. And it was very nerve wracking at the beginning, but then I just leaned into it and it was perfectly fine. I had fun and like, I mean, of course there were eyes and onlookers, but like I think for me it's just like not being afraid to be in a space that you feel is uncomfortable because of the perception or what people's views of them have been. So, I mean, yeah. How about you?
So, I mean, I guess I've been to several at this point. I've probably been like...
I've been to several.
Well, I will have to say, at the beginning of my adulthood, those spaces never felt like they were for me. They didn't feel like anything that aligned with what I was interested in doing or how I felt it was necessary to express myself. And I think I also had these feelings about like my body not being the kind of body that would be appreciated there. But me even too, still, what's true about me is I really love being naked. And like, that is regardless of how my body has ever looked or how it ever will be. I grew up in a naked household.
Me too.
And I feel most comfortable with my clothes off. So if there is an opportunity for me to go somewhere and be semi or fully naked, I am going to take it.
Wait, so when you say you grew up in a naked, like a naked house, give me, what do you mean by that? So I can see if I...
Mostly what that looks like is the mom is walking around naked.
That part, yeah, same. Same. Just wanted to clarify. It was the mother.
So, yeah, it's always the mom. I mean...
Yeah. It was very
I had
much
a naked
too.
Mama.
Me too.
And so, like, by my body and bodies in general aren't inherently sexual to me. They just are first. They are. They exist first. And then, you know, I can attach whatever sexuality to them based on whatever, you know, I believe is attractive. But I like to not have clothes on. So I'm going to do that anyhow.
I'm going to do that anyway. That's my business.
I don't know. The circuit parties have felt different. I always thought they were white. So that was why I never really wanted to go to as well. Like, I was just, that's why I was meant when I was like, I don't really want to be in those spaces. It was because I didn't think that there would be enough people who looked like me or who I related to and who would show appreciation for how I show up in that space.
Yeah.
Right? Because I could be fetishized in a space like that.
Yes, absolutely.
But like, just to be celebrated and to have like an interaction with someone that I can relax into, I wasn't sure about those. So that was why like deviant parties seemed interesting to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
I think for me, I agree with you on that, because I feel like for me, like it's the like embracing me or embracing what I'm bringing to this space instead of being like fetishized, whatever the fuck the word is. I feel like that's always been my experience. It's just like, I think my fears of rejection, I'm gonna be honest, like a fear of being rejected in a space like that. Like, oh, I don't want you. I want this type of body. Or like, I'm one of people like in those type of spaces, I don't, unless I'm like very, very comfortable, then I will be more forward. But like in those type of spaces, I'm like, I'm just there to just like, be a vibe or like have fun, like not
that's
looking
what I'm there
for people to like pursue me in it. So I think I agree with you, because I think I've always thought of myself as like, just not, that's not my scene. Like I've always thought like, that's not like where I've never been like this sexually liberated person. Even though I grew up like in a naked household, like I just never just was like comfortable like in being like my physique or my sexuality, because I just was always looking at these people that I think it's also our community, like the people that are always on the poster. Like, are the people that are always on the flyers. It's like okay. These people that are like physically like insanely big. And I'm like, I don't have that.
So I've seen, okay, so I get what you mean by that. Because I think oftentimes you will see the more muscular, that's what I was looking
for. Girl.
You'll see the more muscular people on the flyers. But I think that that's more of a representation of marketing than anything else to me. Because, like, I've worked at the deviant parties before. I've never been to Frequency, but I really want to go to one of those. I want to see what that is like. But I know that, like, everyone is encouraged to do clothes check at the at the deviant parties, because the idea is for everyone to be in a comfortable situation where we're, like, we're all putting ourselves out there, right? And so the idea is that you have multiple body types in the air, in the room, that are being celebrated or that are being displayed, and that, you know, the music is just right so that people are relaxed and they're having a good time. And it isn't, I don't think I have felt like it's a showcasing of like that muscular type. I think that it really does seem like a marketing thing to me. That's what it seems like to me.
Does it depend on which party? Like, which type of parties you
likely,
go to?
I'm sure if you went to the New York ones I've been to the one in D.C. And even then, I will say I felt a little self-conscious at the D.C. one. But that was also because I had, like, no muscle mass. And I was like, I think I was... It's like, what do you want to wear to these, right? And this has more to do with like the best way to dress your body up than anything else. But I thought we were just supposed to wear like harnesses there. And I might have worn one and I just wasn't ready to. Like, I was like, this doesn't even look good on me. Whereas now I know I can put on my Leak NYC and it's going to hug my body in the exact right places that it needs to. And then I'm showing up in that space in a way where I feel sexy, which seems more important than anything else.
Yeah.
Like, the last time that I was at a deviant event, I was wearing this red lace. Is it lace? It's not lace. This red
fishnet.
It right? kind of fishnet, but it was one of the leak pieces.
Yeah.
Have I ever shown it to you?
I think you wore a shirt. I think you, did you wear it to like, I think you took a picture with like a drag queen in it.
Yes, right. Yes. Mm-hmm. I wore that to a, obviously without the pants, yeah. to a Deviant event. And it just was so, like, it fit my body really nicely. And this was like a month into me being at the gym, so nothing had really changed in my body.
This is why, yeah.
Nothing had really changed. My body was still pretty much the same way it had been the year before, with the exception of, like, a little bit more strength. But it was so nice on my body, and I felt super sexy. And I think that confidence exuded, and I saw people responding to that. And that was a good feeling.
This goes back to our fitness podcast episode, because it goes back to how we feel in those spaces, because how we physically feel. But do you feel like those spaces created versus how you actually show up? Like a space for people to be liberated and like feel no judgment, if that makes sense, so versus
I want to say this. I don't think that these spaces create judgment. I think that if anything, we're coming into it with our own beliefs yeah. and our own fears, right? Yeah. But like at the end of the day, the idea is that everyone comes in here naked, period. So whether you and I should also say that people who have bodies that we admire still have these
body dysmorphia.
Insecure. Yeah, they still have these insecurities, right? So we're all walking into these spaces with our insecurities about our bodies. But the idea is that we are having a good time and feeling sexy. Mm-hmm. You have to feel that way, I think, before you walk through the door. Otherwise, yeah. it is going to seem that way.
Yeah. I mean, I get that. I think, but that also talks about those specific spaces, which we've never both been in because it doesn't create a space for us, is those type of spaces that are, say, like no fats, no films.
Yeah.
Those type of sex spaces are kind of like harmful. And that's what I was saying about like, it's sometimes it's the judgment prior to the actual space, right? It's fear of being judged because you might not see yourself on it or you've never been to one before. So you don't know what to expect or anticipate. Mm. I think that is like where my thoughts come from it sometimes, because like, you would think that, you know, if you go to a sex party or you go to a space that is very sexually charged or sexually liberated, you know, you would see everybody having fun, i.e. like indulging in things, you know, just because it's a space that is liberated by it. But you sometimes feel like it'd be only one set of people that will be able to do it and have access versus like everyone, if that makes sense in my head.
Well, I guess so. One of the things that the Deviant Party specifically, they have, because I, like I said, I've never been to Frequency before.
Yeah.
But it's important that we note that there are people who are throwing some of these events who keep body positivity in mind.
Deviant as well,
and
yeah.
Exactly. Like, that's the thing that I heard a lot from them, is that they welcome and celebrate bodies of all shapes, mm-hmm. shades, and sizes.
Yep.
And so I'm wondering, which kinds of are you seeing how, because I know that when people advertise as sex parties, I've seen those before, and I mm-hmm. see that there are times when those yes. are marketed that way.
Yes.
This is where I think it gets a little difficult for me, because I have never been to a sex party.
Yeah.
And I'm really not, I would not want to be in a space with people who feel that way and yeah. who see people that way, let alone have sex with them.
Yeah.
So
that's all I was saying. Like, we've never been to those type of spaces before, but what they socially put out before, like Frequency and Deviant.
Well, they're different things, because I don't yeah. think people advertise sex parties the way that they do like the circuit parties.
Oh yeah, two different things. Oh yeah, yeah. Circuit parties, oh no. What I'm saying is like going into both, those are two different, like, at the circuit party, I didn't see anyone engage in anything like sex. Like, you know, it was very much free. The way you dress was a little bit more provocative. So that is that. Leaning into what, say, like sex spaces and like sex safe spaces, I'm talking about, like, I've never been to one, but I'm talking about the tone that are used around those when you're seeing them on the socials, i.e. specifically Twitter.
Ah,
specifically
okay.
Twitter. You know, those type of spaces is like, are those spaces And it's a thought. It's not like there's an answer because we are both never been to those. But like, are they creating a safe space, a safe sex space, sex safe space for everyone or for an exclusive type of individual?
What does that look like for you?
With the safe sex space, the like the invite? Well, I think not saying no certain people, right? Not saying no fast no films or like not saying that or emphasizing come as you are. Like, this is a space that is welcome to any and everyone. So that we are creating a space where individuals can and will find individuals that they feel comfortable with engaging with. So I think for me, it's the approach of those type of spaces possibly, and maybe just like what, because I know it's probably hard to get a certain type of people there because of people's perceptions, but I think it's like leaning into creating a space or creating information or creating an environment, even with transition to circuit parties as well, like with people that may have hesitancy, because I've had plenty of friends that are like, oh, I'm not going to go to those. Like, that's not my type of scene. And it's because of the perception of like what people think of it as, or what has been, what people view those type of entities as for in its entirety.
So I was going to lean more into that part too. Mm-hmm. And what I've seen for people's hesitation to going to events like Black circuit parties. Like, I know here there seems to be, it is the perception. It is about the perception of I'm going to show up in this space, and then people, my peers, maybe, because I feel like it's a little less this way, and maybe in northern areas, but like in the South, it's a lot of like, who is going to see me in this space with my clothes off, and like what my body looks like, and what they are going to say afterwards, which is so silly to me. But I understand that we have complicated relationships with each other in our communities, and that like people aren't always very kind.
Yeah.
But I think that's so interesting, considering that like for some of these spaces, the objective is to get, they want people there. They want people spending their money. They want people to make sure that they're paying so that these parties can continue to happen. And you need the attendance up in order to make that happen. So of course they're going to want people of all different body types to be there.
Yeah.
But the same way that like the muscular person might be attracted to the other muscular person, you know, the person who's not very muscular might also be very attracted to that muscular person. Right.
Yeah.
So like, choosing that body type as the one that you put on your flyer is probably effective. But I feel like there have been efforts, and there should be more efforts to use diverse bodies in the marketing.
Yeah. That's all I've seen. My thing is like, it's also just because of like, I think it's just, I've always had hesitation or reservations. Like, I'm curious. So I'm going to be very transparent. I've always been curious to go to those type of spaces. Now, I'm not saying I want to act. I will be honest. I don't want to act in it yet. That's just me having sex in front of people or in a space with someone.
Oh, you're talking about a sex party?
Both and. I'm just saying, like, go. I said, so A, going to a circuit of frequency, like circuit party, sorry, more so. I had to feel comfortable because I didn't know what to anticipate, because I had a perception of it versus what it also typically was, because I had to feel comfortable. Yeah. And then, I think it's also my afraid of like being solicited, just unwarranted advances, or just like being like gawked at or just touched or physically, like, I don't like that. Like, I don't want to feel uncomfortable. Like, that's what it is. Like, I'm not giving you permission to touch on me because I am not wearing a lot of clothes.
So now you're getting to the point where these spaces become complicated for me, because I, like I said, I like to be naked, but that does not mean that I want anyone putting their hands on me. I've always expressed that, like, I'm a look but don't touch kind of girl.
Yes.
Like, we can have a conversation, and like, you can gauge, I'll give you consent to touch me if it's okay, but don't assume that because we're in this space that you can put your hands on me. And that seems to be the difficulty in navigating spaces like that, is where does the consent start, and what is the most practical way to navigate that space? So is this a space where I have to assume that someone's going to touch me and then I have to tell them no? Or is this a space where the rules in general are do not, without being given direct consent, because I think some people would argue that that takes the fun out of space. I could see that being an yes. argument for that, you know?
It is.
And that's a real concern. I think that's a really good thing to bring up. And I still don't really have an answer. I would love to talk to the people who run these spaces and see yeah. what their thought processes are around this. Because I've never really seen like a list of rules the way yeah. that they do at like the Ascendance Party here in New Orleans. There's a list of rules. And I
really do you like yeah I don't know if you could look it up while we talk, but I'm just curious, yeah, like if you could just read some of what those rules maybe
well
can
you
be.
Have to understand too that Ooh. That Ascendance is not it is not a circuit party, so
it's a sex party.
No, it's neither of those things.
Okay.
So that is why those rules are probably more welcome. Let me see,
because I also think about it in correlation to like Freaknik. In like the conversation of like unwarranted advances or unsolicited like feels or nods, like I think mm-hmm. it takes the joy away from like allowing people, like for example, I love the new beach because like nobody was like touching me, right? There was nobody that was like being like very like gawking. And I think that's the thing for me is like, in order for you to create a safe space, maybe in my head is like, you have to also allow, you have to put parameters in place for it to be safe. You can't just say this is a safe space. What actions are saying that this is a safe space for it to be that way?
That's why I was asking you what safety is, because some mm-hmm. people are going to be like, for some people, what creating a safe space in these environments means is that no one is going to police my body. Right. No one is going to make me feel uncomfortable or say yeah. harmful things about my identity and about my body that make me feel like I'm not welcome in this space. And I feel like what a lot of the circuit party creators or hosts and founders are trying to do is to eliminate that, because yeah. they want the attendance. Naturally, we want people to have a good time. It's a party.
Yeah.
But that safe space probably, while they're not, I know for a fact that they're not looking for people to be violated.
Yeah.
I'm Absolutely not entirely not. Sure that they're what the protections against that really look like.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's also like having dancers that look like different body types too. And also, if I was on a mic, I'd be like, all right, I see you over there looking fine. We're talking about, you know, just like hyping people up, like just reminding people on the mic, or just like letting people know, like if someone says no, this is a reminder to not, you know, to not touch them. If please do not, you know, grope or fondle. Like just, I think saying these things to preface before you go into these spaces, I think it's always helpful to set the tone. Because I think that that's the, sometimes I'm like, girl, what are we about to do? What am I about to walk into? This is a Russian roulette. Like,
I found the rules for Ascendance too, by yes. the way.
Let me hear what
so
these rules are.
There's house rules. This was, they did this in June of 2023. And so the do's are turn the fuck up in celebration,
period.
Practice loving kindness and regard for all people, be 21 yes. or up, we card, ask for and receive consent before touching anyone, be kind and warm to all staff and volunteers, head to the volunteers at the door, the booth, or the bar if you need support, and come early if you still need to buy a ticket. Don'ts are don't bring any transgressive fuck shit of any kind with you tonight.
Period.
No isms allowed. If you're unsure, please refer to the ticket link for precise details on what that means. Be too drunk or act right in our space. Don't put your drinks or things on the altars or DJ table, and don't say the word nigga in our space unless you're black, and don't bring a camera other than your cell phone because we have a photographer. But again, this is not a circuit party.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know if it completely goes against the vibe to have that for a circuit party. I don't know.
I'm just curious in like, what is the difference then between
this
that
is
and a circuit
party?
Party?
This is a party.
Yeah. I think a circuit party is just the music.
Okay. The specific. So it's really important to note that what people expect
yes.
with these circuit parties is like a clothes check.
I'm thinking, I think of a circuit party girl, I'm over thinking EDM music. I'm over here thinking strobe lights. I'm over thinking like rage. I'm very much giving. This is the white space, all right? This is the white girl space. Turn the fuck up.
Because it's a dance party.
Yes.
Because
you know clubs, sometimes people don't be motherfucking dancing.
Sure, but, like, you're not going to see people with their clothes on at these. Like, this is not the same. Like, there is a clothes check so that people can be in their underwear.
Oh, yeah. But, no, at the party, at Ascendant, what is it?
Ascendance,
it's you wear your clothes, correct?
Yes, that is okay, a regular
that's
part.
That's the same, regardless of like the circuit. Yes, circuit is the, there's less clothes, I assume. Then this is, literally, y'all, do not correct me. And Derwin are having a think piece right now, y'all. Okay, we are not experts. We are just talking about our experiences. Well,
because there's like what they are on paper, and then there's how they come about. Like if you're actually, if you've gone to them, then your expectation is typically that there will be, there may or may not be a dark room. There are going to be people in leather. There'll be harnesses. People will do the clothes check, so they won't have their clothes on. And I think, like, I don't think that it's mandatory, but I think you could have that expectation about going to the event. Whereas a party that is not like this, like an Ascendance party, there is no mechanism for people removing their clothing, and there is no what's the word I'm looking for? There is no underlining presence of sex.
Yeah, I was thinking, what could you still say those things and make it a circuit party?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's
is that what you would want? Because it sounds like Ascendance would be a perfect party for
you. Because I think you being in that type of space and you just in your underwear, I think that also creates like a safe space too.
No,
like,
I disagree.
Okay, let's get into it.
100% disagree. I think that being in a space like that and being in your underwear don't. Actually, I'm give me a second to formulate my thought on this.
Yeah. No, I was thinking of having those. If you're going to create a safe space where people can be nude or in a space where they could potentially feel like they were uncomfortable, having things like, you know, no isms in it, no rude, have consent before you touch somebody. Like, I think you could still say those things because it's giving people the expectation of what this is. That's my only thing is it's just giving an expectation instead of just being like, come in, have fun. And it's like, but what is fun in this space?
Right. So I do agree with that. Maybe the issue that I'm having, the difficulty that I'm experiencing in this particular conversation is how I have experienced Ascendance and what I understand it to be. It is a dance party. So I just don't think that the naked part would be necessary. But I hear you blending something like that with like what I have understood circuit parties to be.
Yeah. And I'm not thinking of Ascendance. Like, I don't know what it is. So like I'm thinking of when you give these, like, okay, these are the things before you get here. These are the vibes, like a code check. Like, these are what to. I think it's like when you go to a concert, right? And what you expect at the concert. Because if it's somebody that's never been to one.
I think people would ask you what the point of being naked is.
Yeah. I think that's the part is like wanting to create a liberating space for all bodies or for all people. Like, I think it's because we don't usually have spaces because people really like to be naked. Like, we've talked about it. My mom grew up naked. We grew up with moms that were naked. Shit, we walk around naked. So like being in spaces where you feel you are in your like your original attire, nudity, I think people feel free and comfortable. Even I sleep nude. So
are there naked parties? Like, do people have naked parties that are non-sexual?
Girl,
because
I'm
telling you that what you're saying sounds perfect for me.
Yes.
But I don't think that like our general culture has a non-sexual relationship with being naked.
That is true because, for example, how Freaknik was, it didn't start off as a overly sexuated event. It became that because people started to make it that way. So I do agree that I don't think that we have anything probably, y'all, we are thinking this through. I agree that sometimes I think one apple can ruin a whole batch. I would say that. Like, that is the only thing is like, there is probably spaces that are probably very, very exclusive, very discreet. That's why, like, you know, with certain places, like I've seen on Twitter, like if there's like a sex party, like you have to get like a invite. Like you know, it's parties that'd be like, you know, It's like they don't tell you the location. Have you ever been to one of those type of parties before?
No.
You don't know the location. You get an invite, or somebody, it's like, it's not on the flyer. It's like invite only, or like when you like, I've seen it. Oh my God, I can't believe you've never seen this. Like those type of parties.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've never been to one.
I know me either.
So there is a history of these kinds of parties existing. These new parties that have been at universities. And apparently Yale has one, and Brown University also.
Because it was in the movie The Secret Lives of the Sex, The Secret Lives of the College Sex Girls. I don't forget. Oh,
yes. You just taught me something.
Yes. It's like they create a space and like they just take off their clothes and like walk around and drink and stuff like that.
That's very, very interesting.
Yeah. I'm just like, why can't you put a damn expectation? That's my mindset is and that's what's going back to the fears, right? The fears of going into a space that you don't know, what can I expect? Because then that makes me hold you accountable if somebody is not following those rules and creating a space for that. That's what I'm saying. It's like, if we want these spaces to be that way, we need to, people do need to be monitoring what is happening at those spaces so that they have people that they can report it to. And then be like, how are you showing up like that? So that's what I'm saying. Like with Freaknik, I think people did not feel comfortable because they didn't have support when they were being sexually assaulted or did not want to participate in those type of things.
Yeah.
So that's the thing is like, when I go to one of these parties, where is the space of like, if I don't want to participate in this, what is going to happen if somebody goes above that or beyond that? Because then it's not safe. Then it's not a safe sex space because I am not safe. And that's the thing that I'm saying is there needs to be, and I'm not saying that people don't do that. I said that is a caveat of nuance. It's probably hesitation or reservation if there hasn't been a pattern of spaces. I know Deviant and all those spaces of frequency. Not talking about those, but like they create safe spaces and they have allowed it.
We would need to talk to them. I think we should seek to talk to them about what this looks like for them.
Yeah, that's. I mean, this is a nuance. I was like, this is so nuanced because I'm like, what is our experiences with it? What is our thoughts about it? What is all of those things? Because why haven't we been? Or what made us go to it? You know, I think about that because I was like,
to what?
Oh, like sex parties or sex safe spaces or circuit parties, like places where you are not traditionally clothed or wearing less clothes.
Well, because, you know, the people are going to the sex parties to have sex. And yes. Then the people are going to the circuit parties to either dance with the other man or look to possibly have sex. Or just to feel like to release, a lot of people will say to release their inhibitions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because that's the other part that I think is really important. That means something different to everybody.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying is like, what does scented mean something different to people? And that's why I'm always like, because for example, like and this is probably to my voyeurism, right? Like I would like to be at a space like that where I'm watching and seeing people, but then it's like, not like I'm judging or like, I'm like looking at them like, you know, I'm like, I'm someone that like, I wouldn't prefer watching you, you know, I wouldn't prefer creating a safe space for that type of space. But then it's like, if you don't do it, then you don't get to be there. And it's like, oof.
I should probably say that in these events, I don't think I can recall a time where someone touched me in a way that felt uncomfortable. I should probably say that too.
Yeah.
But you're right that I don't really know what I would do if they had, outside of like handling it myself. I don't really know if there's any other direction that would go through. And I'm not even sure, like, I know.
I mean, ultimately just leave. If you feel uncomfortable, this is not a comfortable space.
And then you're like, I'm never going to come to this space again. But I'm sure that's something they wouldn't like.
I mean, I think that that's an individual. Like, if it's like your personal thing, like, oh, I'm never going to go because, like, well, did you reach out to somebody and let them know?
Yeah.
That's a difference. You know what I'm trying to say? It's like, that's a personal response to it versus what that is. But I do want to ask you, since we're on this conversation, I think about, like, releasing your own inhibition and sex parties, our perceptions, our thoughts, the whole conversation, what Freaknik is, what does sexual freedom look like to you then?
Okay. I want to be able to celebrate my body and how sexy it is, while also feeling empowered to make decisions about it. And I don't want to feel any pressure to make any decision in any direction. And I think, like, historically, I've had some poor boundaries. Mm-hmm. So I don't enter in spaces where those boundaries will be tested. Those boundaries are stronger now.
Yeah.
So I feel very confident that I could navigate them, right? I feel very confident that I could express my sexuality in ways that feel comfortable. So that means being, you know, as naked as I want to be and as socially acceptable. You know, celebrating the way that my body is made and the way that I am shaping it. I think it means dancing with freedom, without care. And I think it means having sex with the people I want to have sex with and who want to have sex with me.
Yeah. What are you feeling?
Because I'm thinking, I'm like, well, what? Because it's hard for me to talk about this in context of like these parties, but when I'm thinking take about it what it looks like context, at home.
Yeah, take
right?
it
like,
outside of it? That context of the parties. Think of
yeah,
home.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So at home, I think that sexual freedom looks like me doing all the things that I want to do with the people that want to do it with me. Mm-hmm. So that looks like communicating about like what my desires are in the bedroom. And having my partner be interested in those desires, mm-hmm. and asking and actually having a conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like something I'm intentional about and something that still feels like is within my control, even if it's a shared control with the people I'm having sex with.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've said before that I have like that, like large sex with more than one person or more than two people, sounds like interesting to me in theory, but then in practice maybe not so. I feel like in an ideal world maybe I did participate in group sex, but like with a controlled number of people in a space that felt safe and didn't include people I have no interest in.
Mm-hmm.
So like, but I don't really want to be in an environment that excludes people. And I don't even really want to have to navigate rejecting anyone.
Yeah.
Like, and also, like, the best kind of sex I've ever had has been tied to my emotions. And I'm not going to feel that much for, like, 5 to 6 people. So it really doesn't sound practical to me.
Yeah. The only reason I asked was the thought process around the personal and the spaces. Do you feel like that sexual freedom conversation, there's not that many controls that you have in that spaces? Not okay. And that's what I was seeing is like, do you feel like you can't, or you saying I only want to have sex with this person if they
like that? So because I feel like for me safety is always the more important thing over anything else.
Absolutely.
So like sexual freedom does not exist for me if there is no safety. There is no freedom if there is no safety. That's right. How I feel.
Absolutely.
And I kind of discern, I'm feeling people out, and you look good, but like what's your spirit like, right? Like mm-hmm. are you the kind of person I need to be letting inside of my body, on my body? Do we need to be connecting in that way? And I understand that other people have less intimate relationships with sex, but that's just what it is for me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No,
so
absolutely, yeah.
Like, that maybe one day I could attend a sex party, but because of my relationship to sex that I'm not really interested in changing right now. I don't want to be put in a situation where I feel like I have to interact with someone in a way that I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And so control is still a necessary part of that experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that does feel free to me because like I don't think that sexual freedom has to look the same for all of us.
Absolutely.
I really don't.
Yeah.
And if there comes a day in my life where I'm like, I want more people here, that still has to look a certain way. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah.
It just would.
Yeah.
It can't look, it looks like me knowing these people, knowing who they are and what kind of spirit they have, because I don't want to be fucking demons. Like, I don't want like lay with motherfuckers who have ill intentions, who are like, and it's already hard doing that individual to individual.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a tangent, but that's
no, it was
that's,
fun. I think it's, this is I'm looking at this episode more as of a banter, as a nuanced conversation. I'm not looking for like so. I'm looking for thought pieces, or you know, things of that nature. So that's why I'm like just wanting to know your thoughts. That so I was there was no answer for me. It was just like we're talking it out. But I think my mindset, and I'm always in my head like, can there be a control or a variable? Or the other being science. Or is there, can you have a control in those spaces? Can you go into a sacred space? Not sex, circus, but a sex space. I'm like, I want to have sex with you. Do you want to have sex with me? Great. We have sex with each other. We get it off. I feel comfortable that I've got mine off with you. I can leave. If you want to do your big one with other people, you can. I think it's just like,
From what I've heard, from what I've heard, that is very present.
Yeah.
I have talked to, there are a lot of people in my life who either regularly attend sex parties or who just have.
Same.
And they have not expressed the kinds of concerns that I am saying. So there seems to be, you can do whatever.
Yeah. Because what I'm sensing is you are very emotionally and physically and spiritually connected.
Yes, and I'm not interested in disconnecting those things from each other.
And that's perfect. I see that, and I know that. That's why I think those spaces, regardless if it's a safe or if it's a sex party, or you still have to feel spiritually, physically, and emotionally connected. And I think sometimes some people may be able to disconnect those.
Yeah,
because their part is I would like to release my inhibition. I want to have sex. This is all we're doing. And I don't have to have the expectations of anything afterwards, which I think that's it's a thing. Cause I think for me, sexual freedom, which was I didn't see you. I was looking at.
Just because those things are all connected doesn't mean I expect things afterwards. Yeah, I want to make that clear.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. No, sorry. I didn't, I looked down. I seen your hand. So I was like, I was looking up, but no, I definitely agree with you. I think for me is I always have to feel comfortable. There always has to be a sense of consent in anything that I do, because my fear is I want somebody to enjoy this as much as me. I want this to be a space where we are both having a ball, we are having a good old time, and the vibes are right, and we both are in it, and we are both wanting to do it. Sexual freedom to me is not having the eyes of or gaze of judgment or fear of someone scrutinizing me for showing up the way that I like to show up sexually. Meaning there's not any ramifications, there's no crucifications, there's just no judgment of this is how I show up sexually. I'm not saying this is how you have to show up, but this is how I show up, and I don't want to feel as though that is being put to judgment or fear of someone judging me. So I think that's what it all to me is. I want to be fun, I want to be free, I want to be living, and I want to be comfortable, and I just don't want to see, if you go to a party and everybody's not dancing, but you're dancing on a dance floor and everybody's around you, just you feel like there's eyes on you that are not of judgment, not of oh, you fucking it up. It's just oh, why is this person dancing? Why is this person really doing all this at the club? That's something I don't want to see, because then that makes me not feel comfortable enough to be in a space that is supposed to be for that. So that's just always my nuance, is less removing judgment and stigma so that you can show up and be free as the space or as you would a desire to be in that manner.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think that's a personal thing. I'm still getting there. Am I sexually free? No.
You don't think you are?
I don't think that I am. Internally, behind closed doors, absolutely. Because behind closed doors, yes. But as how I present, if I go to a party or something of that nature, there is reservation just because of you. Also, when you're gay and you try to show up a certain way, people might assault you because you're being too you. Yeah. That is my fear, is we always have to have that extra layer of caution or support vigilant because of your freedom. Our freedom has historically lost us our lives.
I mean, we wouldn't have been able to act the way the people were at Freaknik in public. So that's why the spaces like the ones that we discussed tonight exist, so that there is a space for us to be able to do those things, to release ourselves in whatever ways we need to, within reason, of course, or within respecting someone else's desires and safety. But yeah, I mean, I guess if you're not in need of those spaces, then you wouldn't go. But now I think from the conversation that we've had today, I realize that there does need to be a space for that allows for nudity that isn't tied to sex. Mm-hmm. There need to be social spaces for people to be naked if they want to be, but that the expectation is never, or sex doesn't have to be involved in any way at all.
Absolutely.
I really feel like I paused for a minute when you were saying it, because I'm like, that's not what that is. That's not what we're doing there. But that's just because that's what I've seen. But you're apparently this has existed and there is a need for it. And I feel like I've walked away recognizing that there's a gap here.
Yeah, I think it is a gap. Like, for example, a nude beach. You're nude doesn't mean that you are engaging in a thing sexually. It's just you're just all nude, you know. And it's funny enough. It's something I've always wanted to do, and I was like, that doesn't require I have to do anything but just be freely walking around.
Yeah,
like, woo, nobody touching me, and it's a beach, so it's so far away. Like, you don't have to be, you know, all of those things. But yeah, girl, I think I was learning stuff too. I was just like, it's, I always think about learning spaces. It makes you want to look up spaces more now.
Yeah, I'm gonna do some research about all of these and see what's going on around here, because I do want to be naked more and not just walking around the streets half naked.
Right. But if you do that and you've created a sense of, you know, safety and security among yourself and, you know, confidence, I think that's perfectly fine. But it's also just always being, of course, aware of your surroundings, because people are always not comfortable because of you're comfortable. But I do appreciate this conversation. Like I said, there was no right or wrong answer. It was very nuanced. It was very much us talking and doing our banter. So
it just made me think in a way that I haven't in a while. Like, I'm always thinking about my relationship to sex, and I'm working on it in home. Like, this is my safe space. So I love having sex here, and I'm going to do whatever I want to here. Yeah. But I'm also like, have I reached the fullest of the freedom in my own life? And I feel like I won't do that until I'm in a relationship with someone I feel completely safe with. And that'll be where I hit my peak sexual freedom.
Yeah. I think of course, like, in spaces that are legally able to be done, not out in public, like people, you know, voyeurism, or people having, you know, have you ever had sex in a car? Have you ever had sex on a roof? Have you ever had sex in a, like, those type of spaces of like being sexually free is like, I've never had sex in a car before, because I've been always afraid that I will bust the window out.
Oh, you are tall, and it is awkward. I've done it in the back of a sedan, of my sedan before, and it was awkward.
And then the windows is fogging up. I'm over here like, I think of that, but like, being sexually free, who cares? Like, we're going to do it. We're going to have fun. That is what I'm thinking. But like, there is sexually free people that I love as well. Like, I be looking at people on Twitter and I'm like, girl, you having a ball, and I am here for it. And you are safe, and you are happy, and you are doing it. I think it is. But it's also just like, what does that look like outside of the house? What does that look like outside of the controlled area you have created? What can you do outside of that so that you are able, if you are willing and wanting to do that amongst others that are on, that have the same intentions and mindset and are all consenting in that manner? So that was just that. So thank you so much, Derwin, for talking with me. If they would like to continue this conversation, where can they find you at, Fista?
You guys can find me on Instagram at Derwin King. That's DERWINKING.
Yes. And if you all would like to continue the conversation with moi, you all hit me up on Instagram and Twitter at _LordEvery. That is _LORDEVERY. If you all would like to continue the conversation on our podcast, Instagram and socials, you can hit us up at That Black Boy Joy Pod on Instagram and Twitter. If you would like to write into us, you can hit us up at thatblackboyjoypodcast@gmail.com. And you all, of course, can watch our episodes on YouTube at That Black Boy Joy, and also on Spotify. Our videos have always been on Spotify, but I don't think we've actually formally said it. But you all can also check us out on Spotify if you just look up the podcast.
Yeah.
Like we always tell you all, please be so in love with who you are.
Bye.
Okay. Hey. I'm talking about the Black Boy Joy.